Welcome to Mingwei Radio's Falun Dafa podcast, bringing you a window into the lives of Falun Dafa practitioners across China and throughout the world. Stories include first-hand accounts from practitioners who face persecution in China, as well as insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation.
The following is an experience-sharing article entitled My Understanding of the Passing of Dafa Disciples by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Mingwei website on February 26, 2024. After reading some sharing articles about the passing of Dafa disciples, I could not help thinking of several local practitioners who passed away. Some of those who passed away and some who are currently stuck in sickness karma used to be active in their cultivation practice. That is, they appeared to be very diligent, went out to clarify the facts about Dafa, rain or shine, and distributed truth clarification materials in large quantities. They include coordinators, experts of IT support, those who always reach out and help practitioners in need, and some who broke out of incarceration with righteous thoughts again and again. In the end, however, they did not escape from the clutches of the sickness karma. They felt hopeless, helpless, and isolated with no righteous thoughts anymore. They left with regrets and confusion. Some even complained that Master no longer cared for them. Master said in teachings at the conference in Singapore, quote, "You might know that a few of our students passed away. Some of them reached consummation, while some died to do harm to us. So I didn't make any comments on the matter or offer any explanation, yet I think those things were a test of life and death for our students. Although they didn't happen to you personally, it was almost as if they did. You're sure to have felt like that. It's a critical test of life and death, then. If a person can't abandon his concern for life and death, he absolutely won't be able to consummate." Unquote. From this, we know that the passing away of other practitioners is also a mirror for each of us to reflect upon. It is like a test of our life and death, a very serious question. How to pass this test? Let's start with our own cultivation. Part 1. Importance of Studying Dafa Teachings. In the beginning of the persecution, I went out to validate the Fa without hesitation. There were no truth clarification materials at the time, so we wrote messages about Dafa ourselves and put them up. They included the most conspicuous places, such as utility poles, bridgeheads, and even the traffic police towers at intersections. Later, truth clarification materials were distributed door to door. As time went on, I clarified the truth face to face to save sentient beings, offered materials, or persuaded them to quit the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, organizations. I felt a great sense of accomplishment. I felt that only by doing this could I be worthy of being a Dafa disciple in the Fa rectification period. However, I neglected the important part of studying Dafa teachings with a calm mind. That is, I have considered doing things as cultivation and studying Dafa teachings as a formality. I didn't know how to look inward, so I often argued and had many conflicts with other practitioners. This went on until various physical discomforts appeared, and even doing Dafa exercises did not help, so I was perplexed. Later on, I read a practitioner's sharing. I was awakened, realizing that I should calmly study the Dafa teachings and evaluate things according to Dafa principles. I thus began studying the Dafa teachings attentively, with a tranquil mind, while looking within whenever encountering difficulties. In this process, I noticed I was eager to do things with ego while being impatient, restless, domineering, and overbearing. I did not take criticism well, and I kept looking outwards. After studying and memorizing the Dafa teachings for some time, I had a better understanding of Dafa principles. I was thus able to identify the difficulties I encountered and the source of my karma. Master had already borne part of it for me, and I had to bear some of it too. Karma is stubborn, but we can cleanse ourselves by doing the exercises, studying Dafa teachings, and sending forth righteous thoughts. With the mechanism bestowed by Master, we can break and disperse the black karma into small pieces. Through our perseverance and cultivation, we are able to constantly expel and weaken the karma to a point of posing no threat to our body. The old forces could no longer take advantage of our loopholes to drag our physical body away. Therefore, only by understanding the principles of Dafa and diligently guarding every thought can we successfully overcome every tribulation. Only then can we negate the arrangements of the old forces. During these years of cultivation, many Dafa disciples are doing very well in cultivation. Their faith in Master and the Fa is as solid as a rock. Part 2, Story of a Practitioner. In our study group, there is an elderly practitioner who firmly believes in Master and Dafa. She has survived several life and death situations. Once, after she passed out at home, her husband was stunned and called the ambulance, but the line was busy. He also called his son. By then, she regained consciousness, pushed her husband aside, and said, "I am fine. I just need to go to the bathroom." When she discovered that she had lost control of her bowels, her son arrived and asked her to go to the hospital. "I am fine. I won't go to the hospital," she said. The practitioner was calm and her mind was clear, and she felt little more than a feeling of heaviness in her body. She fell asleep, and in her dream, someone was digging a hole in the ground and told her that it was for her. She replied in the dream, "That is not for me. I have to guide my sentient beings through the gates of heaven to the future." She woke up, and because of her righteous thoughts, she recovered in a few days. If she had acknowledged the arrangement by the old forces, the consequences would have been unimaginable. She went through another tribulation lately when she suddenly experienced excruciating back pain and could not turn or lay down. For several days, she suffered enormous pain, but she was not afraid. Considering the situation to be an illusion, she knew it should not prevent her from doing the three things. She slowly stood up, went downstairs while holding onto the railing, and rode her electric bike out to clarify the truth once again. She would sit in front of the computer for hours to break through the internet blockade, downloading informational materials and listening to Mingwei Radio. She said that in a dream, she was holding a vine with both hands, and no matter how much her body swayed, she just wouldn't let go and held on tight to the vine. Part 3, Seriousness of Cultivation Practice. Master said in Lecture 1 of Juan Fallen, quote, "If you are a true cultivator, our Fallen will safeguard you. I am rooted in the universe. If anyone could harm you, he or she would be able to harm me. Put simply, that person would be able to harm this universe." Unquote. In these years of practice, some practitioners do not understand this part of Master's teachings well. With Master's protection and having done so many DAFA projects as well as saving people's lives, they think that they shouldn't be persecuted so severely, tormented by illnesses, lose their life, and so on. This is interpreting DAFA using human notions and human thoughts. Master will take care of DAFA disciples who have righteous thoughts. In my understanding, Master does not want any kind of death. By practicing dual cultivation of body and mind, we are extending our lives while practicing. But we have to practice based on DAFA and know how to practice. How well we assimilate to the Fa is how much DAFA protection we will have. This is for sure. For practitioners who are in tribulation, please waste no time and study the DAFA teachings well. If we work hard on cultivating our character, look within, and eliminate attachments, we will be able to return with Master in an upright manner. This is my understanding at my level. Please kindly point out anything inappropriate.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled, Three Mops Pointed Out My Attachments, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Mingwei website on February 29, 2024. I started practicing Falun Dafa in 1998. I measure every thought based on Falun Dafa's standards of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. And my family members, relatives, and friends all know Falun Dafa is good. My younger sister said, "You should leave China to escape the persecution. We will lend you the money if you don't have enough." My older sister said, "The Chinese Communist Party, CCP, is good at confusing right and wrong. Of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, which quality is not good?" I reminded them to always say, "Falun Dafa is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good." Because they know Falun Dafa is good, the people around me enjoy good health, harmonious marriages, and successful careers. My son asked me, "Mom, after I get married, will you still get along with your daughter-in-law?" I told him, "Don't worry. I practice Falun Dafa. I can get along with anyone." I didn't expect that I would have any issues with my future daughter-in-law. Part 1. The Story of the Three Mops. One day, my daughter-in-law purchased a square mop. She said we needed a new mop because the old one did not clean the floor well. I explained, "I know it's not that good, but I can still use it. Didn't I just buy a new one? I paid 200 yuan for it. You can take the one you bought to your mother." My daughter-in-law replied, "My mom already has one." I said, "This square mop cannot clean the corners, especially not under the bed. The new year is coming. Why don't you take it to your mom's home to clean the windows? I think it will be good for that." I didn't expect she would insist on keeping it. Because I'm a practitioner, I should not force my ideas on others. So I didn't say anything, but I silently began to complain. She enjoys spending money. I told her I bought an expensive one and stored it in the bathroom. I also showed her how well it worked. Why did she go against me? Did I spend all that money for nothing? I relented and said, "Okay, I'll take turns using them." As a result, there were three mops in the bathroom. Whenever I mopped the floor using the square mop, I had a combative and complaining mindset and wanted to show them the new mop didn't work well. However, the new mop worked very well, and the floor was much cleaner. I realized that everything has its life cycle. The old mop was too old, and it didn't work anymore. In fact, it left a watermark on the floor whenever I used it. If my daughter-in-law hadn't pointed it out, I wouldn't have realized the floor wasn't clean. I realized this conflict happened because I still had attachments to competitiveness, saving face, and self-interest. I decided to eliminate them. I quietly removed the old mop from the bathroom. But I thought I'd keep the new mop I bought, so now there were two mops in the bathroom. In other words, I had not completely let go of my attachments. I was still quietly competing with my daughter-in-law. However, after I mopped the floor a few times with the square mop, I discovered more of its advantages. It was water-saving, it covered a large area, and was easy to use. There was also a perfect place in the bathroom to store the square mop. It even looked better than the round mop I'd bought. I immediately realized I'm a cultivator and looked at the situation from that perspective. Why did I still have such strong attachments? Would a cultivator have those attachments? My daughter-in-law bought the mop with good intentions, but I was picky. She knows Dafa is good and respects my practice. But if I went on like this, was I validating Dafa? I needed to let her see the goodness of Dafa. Master saw I had those attachments and arranged for her to help me improve. Why was my enlightenment so poor? How could I not let go of those attachments? In the end, I removed the new round mop I'd bought from the bathroom. The bathroom went from 3 to 2 to 1 mop. It looked neater. The experience was like the process of giving up my attachments. I let go of them one by one. My heart became bigger, and my mind became broader. I told my son and daughter-in-law, "This new mop is excellent. At first, I thought it was not good, but after using it a few times, I discovered that it is indeed good. It saves water and detergent, mops a large area, and is easy to care for. It is better than the one I bought. It seems like it was custom-made for our bathroom. It is perfect." My son and daughter-in-law smiled. Part 2, Finding Answers in Dafa. My son and my daughter-in-law occasionally argued over small things. When she cried, I comforted her, and then she'd be okay. A few days ago, they argued again. She wept and complained about my son. My son said she had psychological problems and always cried. She wondered if she had a mental illness. I told my daughter-in-law that crying won't solve the problem. When I hear you cry, it upsets me. My son was berating you, but he does not think that you are mentally ill. I told my son, you should consider other people's ability to accept what you say. As a husband, you should be understanding and tolerant of your wife. You think it's a casual remark and it doesn't mean anything, but the listener may take it seriously. Aren't you hurting her? My daughter-in-law later told me, I'm sorry we made you worry. My son said, Mom, I understand what you're saying. The following day, when I read the fourth talk from Chuan Falun, Master said, quote, tense situations with others will come up unexpectedly for those of us who practice. How can you be prepared then? If you can always be compassionate and calm, you will handle the issues that arise in your life well, since you will have a buffer, in a sense. Things will work out well if you are always compassionate and good to others, thoughtful towards people, and handle whatever situations you get into with people by first pausing to consider how well your actions will go over with the other party and whether anyone will be hurt by them. you should hold yourself to high standards and raise the bar still further as you practice." Unquote. While reading this paragraph of Fa, I thought this was the solution to the friction between my son and daughter-in-law. All beings came for the Fa. I should guide them to find their answers in Dafa. Before my son left for work at noon, I called them to my room. Holding the book Chuan Falun, I turned to this paragraph and said, "This paragraph enlightened me. I'm going to read it to you. Then each of you, please read it once." I read it and then handed the book to my son, and he read it once. After he read, he gave the book to his wife. I said, "If something is my fault, I will correct it. In the future, we should do what Master said. Son, your wife makes you breakfast and lunch. Have you thanked her?" My son replied, "No." He told my daughter-in-law, "Thank you for your hard work." My daughter-in-law and I laughed heartily. Master spoke of solid cultivation at the end of Chuan Falun. I still need to catch up when I compare myself to other practitioners. I will continue to improve my Xinsheng and assimilate to Dafa. I hope to quickly reach Master's requirements and fulfill my mission.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.